There's a lot to speak about this week, and it's hard to choose when there's a lot to speak about. So I thought one thing spoke to me this week, this year, and hopefully it'll be for Toelis. So when you read through the story, the parsha, you should notice something, and when you get used to reading through the parsha, you stop noticing it, but you should notice it. It's very noticeable. It stands out. The story of Yosef HaTzadik, the story of the brothers and Yosef HaTzadik and the Mechira, it's a very, very, very important story, very, very impactful story. And it goes start to finish. Really start to finish this parsha and the next couple parshas. And you read through the storyline and you see Yosef grew up and he had the dreams and the brothers and they sold him and they wanted to kill him. And then he ends up by the house of Potiphar, and the Maisalishes Potiphar, and etc. And in the middle of that whole story, Hashem makes a machitza with the story of Yehuda and Tamar. Yehuda and Tamar just end up smack in the middle of that story, seemingly unnecessarily. Chronologically, it definitely, an argument could be made that chronologically that's where it belongs, but the Torah is not going to stop a story mid-story. It just you lose the continuity of the story. So the Medrash Rashi Chazal, they pick up on this, and Rashi offers a couple pshatim. Rashi says, "Hifzik bo," they separate. Hashem separated the story of Yosef with Yehuda and Tamar. Because he wanted to put them up against each other, because they teach us about each other. There's something that we learn from the fact that the story of Yehuda and Tamar are right up against the story of Yosef. So he gives a couple pshatim. One pshat he says, I'm not going to talk about. V'od, he says another pshat. He compares Eishes Potiphar and Tamar. There are comparisons that we learn from the back-to-back of the two stories. So I saw in the Medrash a pshat. The Medrash wasn't talking about this kasha. I saw in the Medrash something that I thought could be a third pshat. I'll share with you a Medrash. Matrona Shalos Rabbi Yosi. It was a lady. She asked Rabbi Yosi a question. She said, Asher Yosef ben Shvas Reishana, and he was Oymed B'kol Chaymai. It was possible. Yosef was a 17-year-old kid. Very energetic guy. He had a lot of passion inside of him. You think he really was successful at avoiding, at declaring victory over the Nisayon of Eishes Potiphar? Is it possible a 17-year-old kid left alone in a palace with this very, very, very impressive woman, Ruchnius and Gashmius, and he didn't give in to the lure, to the desire? Is it possible a 17-year-old kid has such strength, such inner strength? So Rabbi Yosi responded, "Hoitzi lefanes sefer bereishis." He opened up a chumash to this lady. V'hiskol kor lefanes. He started to read to her from the chumash. He told her the ma'ase Yehuda and Tamar. He told her a few stories in the chumash. He got up to the ma'ase of Yehuda and Tamar, and he said, "Look at the ma'ase of Yehuda and Tamar. Amar lo ma'im elu shem gedolim." Yehuda and Tamar were adults. They weren't just adults. They were gedolim. They were gedolim in age, but they were gedolim in stature also. Yehuda and Tamar were big people. Adults, old people, but also big people, tremendous people, very impressive people. And about impressive people, and Ubrishus Avina, they were around their father, they had very good influences around them, and still, Lokisa Aleim Akasav, and the Torah didn't spare any details about their downfall, about their embarrassing story. It shares that Yehuda went on the road, and he took Tamar, and it says a story that it's a little embarrassing to both of them, and they were big people. And they had good influences around them. They were in a good environment. And the Torah talks about their quote unquote on their level, their failure. So Rabbi Yosi pointed out to this woman, Zeshe who caught him, Yosef was a child, he was 17 years old. Ubershus Atzmo. And he didn't have good influences around him. He was in Mitzrayim. He was in a terrible environment. So Alachas Kama Vakama, all the more so the Torah would have been honest. So he was just proving to this woman that Torah is, you see from Yehuda and Tamar, the Torah is very honest, and you would almost not even have any criticism about Yosef, because if it said about Yehuda and Tamar, who were big people, adult and very impressive people, and they were in a good environment, so Yosef, it's not his fault. Yosef was in a bad environment. He was a kid. He made a mistake. So Achas Kamva Kamva, you see that it's a true Maisa. It sounds like maybe a third shot. Maybe a third shot as to why we need to have Tamar next to Yosef to show the truth. The truth, it's a real story. It really happened. Yosef was Misgaber. He overcame the Nisayon. And it talks about the greatness of Yosef. Yosef is called Yosef Tzadik. There's a pshat that I started saying. I heard this past summer. But that's not the simple pshat. The simple pshat is Yosef was a tzadik because of this maisa, because of the gvura that he expressed in this particular situation of Eishes Potiphar. But when you look, when you pay attention to the maisa of Eishes Potiphar, and we have to be careful when we do this, and do this with sensitivity, you start to question how impressive it actually was. The Gemara in Sota says, Darshan's a pasuk, Rashi brings this also in the Parsha. Vayhi kayyam hazeh, vayavu abaisa lasos malachto. On that day, it was like a shtickle Christmas, and everybody went to church that day. And Eishes Potiphar said, she said to the servants, to her husband, to the family and friends, she said, oh, I'm not feeling good. You know, like a guy in yeshiva, oh, I'm not feeling good today, I can't come. So she was excused, she stayed home that day. She knew what she had the opportunity to accomplish on that day. For a long time, it must have been weeks, if not months, she went to him every day, twice a day, the Medrash says, and she tried to seduce him a few times a day. And it says in the Medrash, she wasn't an unintelligent woman, she was a very intelligent woman. She knew the art of seduction. And every time she would go over to him, she would change her clothes, a different outfit. She would always look different, try to appeal to him. And he was very steadfast, he was very strong. In his responses to her, he wouldn't even look, and she forced him to look. Medrash goes on about the crazy situation she put him in. So on that day, that was the jackpot day. Everybody's out of the house. The servants, the friends, the family, everybody's going to church. So she faked sick. And she knew he wasn't Christian. He didn't keep their religion. Obviously he wasn't Christian, but he has done it here. So he wasn't gonna go to church that day. So she figured she had her chance. That it'll just be him and her, one-on-one. And the pasuk says that he went lasois malachto. So it's a machlokas amurayim, but Amar B'Yochanan, melamed sheshnein ledvar avera nischavnu. He went to, in the language of the pasuk, he went to get to work. But get to work, not in the euphemism language. He went to go to work. And she went to go to work, and they were going to work together. They were going to. And then it's almost you say, okay, so they both had the same intentions. He was a gorgeous guy. Yosef was known to be a gorgeous guy. The girls would, you know, stand on each other. They would go on each other's shoulders to look over the wall to see Yosef, his beauty. What a gorgeous guy. I don't know, for some reason I picture him long golden locks. Sounds a little bit. He was Masal Selbisaro. He was, he was a brunette. I don't know. I picture a blonde. But he was a gorgeous guy, real gorgeous, good looking guy, a young, strapping lad. Very impressive physique. And he walks into the house, Lasseis Malachto. And Eishes Potiphar, I don't want to talk, but she wasn't too shabby. That's what Chazal said. She wasn't too shabby. And how could it be that the two people wanted, they had the same intentions, and so what happened? What happened? So we all know what happened. We learned, Mara Miriam taught us in first grade. Somehow she taught us this without telling us what exactly was going on. It's amazing what Mara Miriam was capable of doing. She told us the solution without explaining exactly the problem, which was amazing. But we all heard this before in first grade. The Osa Shah, at that time when they were about to get to work, Basa Diukno Shah Avi, he saw an image of his father. It's interesting, the Gemara doesn't say the next word. The Medrash adds b'chalom in the window. I'm sorry, the Gemara does say it. The Gemara says the Medrash doesn't say. Different versions. I don't know. One version is like Yaakov appeared in the room. One is like Yaakov appeared by the window. I think there's depth to that. Not for now. So he appeared either in the window or in the room. Amar lai. And Yaakov said to Yosef, he said, what are you doing? Wait, are you serious? This is what you're holding? He said, "Asidin achicha shikaswal avne efo." Your brother's name will be written on the efo, on the big day kahuna, on the big day kain gadol. the names of all the Shvatim, they're going to land on the big day Kohen Gadol. And you, Va'ata Beinayim, you're supposed to be among them. We cross out your name, and then he threatened him. He said, "I'll put your name somewhere else, in an ugly place." And Yaakov was right in front of him. So what happened? They were lasais malachtai. They both went niskavnu l'davrecha. They both went with the same intentions to get to work. And then Yaakov showed up in the room, like surprise. You know, came out from under the bed.
Came out.
I don't know, but I think a normal, healthy person, whoever your dad is, and Alachas Kama V'Kama, if it's Yaakov Avinu, shows up in the room, rest assured, nothing's going to happen. Rest assured, you're going to take a rain check on that, Maisa. You're not going to continue with the Maisa. I mean, I'm not going to say it's awkward. Obviously awkward. But Yaakov Avinu's in the room. Nothing's going to happen. Chas v'shalom, a guy ends up in such a scenario, and then like Rav Chaim Kanievsky shows up, "Hey guys, I'm here." You're like, "Okay, I think have a good night. The mice is over." I'm not saying it wasn't impressive, but was it impressive? Obviously, he walked out of the room. So I know the Teretz. I know you're thinking, what you should be thinking, is that it wasn't really Yaakov. It was like a hologram. Some kind of like optical illusion. It was like one of these drones in Jersey. It was like flying around, but nobody knew how it got there or what it was doing. So it wasn't clear. It wasn't really Yaakov. Okay, true, I'm with you. But yeah, again, I'm saying, okay, a hologram of Chaim Kanievsky is dancing around in the room. It's still a little uncomfortable. And so maybe somebody else would have been nitchal, somebody else would have failed the test. But Yosef, he grew up in Beis Yaakov. And so he saw Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu's face, his image, when the angels were going up and down the ladder by Malkum HaMikdash, when Yaakov had the dream, the angels were going up and down the ladder because the Medrash says that they saw Yaakov and they said, "Whoa, that's the guy whose face is on the Kisei HaKavod." Yaakov's face is carved out, etched out on the Kisei HaKavod. Yaakov, what does that mean? He's on the guy's image is on the Kisei HaKavod. So this guy's face appears, let it be in a hologram and an illusion, but it appears in the room, you cancel the meisen. And yet, it says in the pasuk in Vayechi, when Yaakov gives a bracha to Yosef, he says a famous Sephardi pasuk. It's for everybody, but for some reason it's a Sephardi pasuk. Midei Abir Yaakov. I feel like Abir Yaakov is a very Sephardi pasuk. Midei Abir Yaakov, Mishom Roe Evin Yisrael. That he became the Evin Yisrael. Rashi over there, the Medrash points out, Yosef became the Evan. He was inscribed on the rock, of the big day Kohen Gadol. Why? Because Abir Yaakov. Because who got him to be on the rock? Yaakov. Yaakov saved the day. So it wasn't the gvura of Yosef. Yosef was manipulated by Yaakov Avinu. So what's the godless here? What's the godless? So I want to say, perhaps in Upshat, Anupshat, and why the Maisa of Yehuda and the Maisa of Yosef are back to back. I want to suggest a thought, Anupshat. So I found in my few days, that when it comes to people attempting to be successful in every area, I think it's true in every area, and for sure it's also true in Ruchnius, but it's true in every area, that you have the mentality of the masses, which I'll talk about, and you have a different mentality, which we'll get to. The mentality of the masses, when they approach an area of life, Ruchnius or Gashmius, but we'll focus on Ruchnius. The masses, when they approach an area of Ruchnius that they want to succeed in, their mentality is often that they envision a perfect rise. They think that they're going to climb rung after rung and ace every test, and everything's going to go on a trajectory of, you know, bottom and to the top, and a straight, direct climb. And it's going to be like a perfect streak of perfect performances. And the masses, when they think about how they're going to succeed, what they think about is doing perfection. Accomplishing a perfect day after a perfect day, a perfect hour after a perfect hour, a perfect Seder after a perfect Seder. And that ultimately is going to lead to the ultimate picture of success that they have for themselves. And we all know that the masses, just happens to be the masses, don't generally attain the highest levels of success. The masses generally struggle with ups and downs and failures, and they don't always get to those highest ranks of success in any area, and particularly Ruchni. They're individuals who often climb to the highest rung of spiritual success. And they don't have this attitude of, I'm going to have a great day after a great day, after a perfect this, after a perfect that, and that's not even what they think before it starts. And I'm going to criticize something, but I don't mean to criticize something, but there are, sometimes you have in yeshivas, you do events, and I'm really, honestly, nobody should think I'm criticizing it, because I think very highly of it, but we have to know what's a risk. And sometimes you have in yeshiva events that they do for a day, or for a week, or for a month, these types of incentive type programs that demand excellence. So some people from those types of experiences, they envision that success is from a great accumulation of that over the span of life. Just constant rise, you know, a daf after a daf after a daf after a daf. And perfect, and I haven't missed a day of tefillin, and I never miss a chakras, and I get the early perfection and perfection, perfection. And that's the masses' mentality. But the masses, I find often, don't reach the peak. But there are individuals who live in reality. Certain individuals, they live in reality. And if you live in reality, you come to realize very quickly, if you're honest, you probably realize this when you're 2.5 years old. It doesn't take longer than 2.5 years old. That you're up, Sharon, for sure you realize this. That I end up in unfortunate circumstances, sometimes due to my own choices and sometimes due to not my own choices. But I end up sometimes, maybe often, in unfortunate circumstances that I didn't ever wish to be in, I didn't ask to be in, I didn't hope to be in, I didn't try to be in. And you start to live in reality that your life is chock full of disappointments, chock full of failures, chock full of frustrations. Your life just has a lot. Every day, you set your alarm and you woke up 7 minutes later, 70 minutes later. It's all the time like that. You have a little chart now. You should have this chart. Maybe at the end, I'll talk about it for a second, that you have to get a good Oshi Yatzer and you're marking off. This is a beautiful thing. And you're like in the middle of the Oshi Yatzer and you're like, already I failed. I didn't even realize I was saying Oshi Yatzer. You were saying it on the walk and you didn't even think about it. And halfway through it, you realize it was a failure to begin with. But these people who don't live in a dream, they understand something absolutely incredible. They understand that success is not about constant, small, accumulating success, but they understand that success is understanding how to conform and alter your aspirations with reality. That's a chachmah. That's a very wise science. How to conform your great aspirations to the truth of reality. That's a challenging thing to do. It requires a lot of adjustments, a lot of changes. And when you look at this storyline, there's nobody who dreamed bigger than Yosef HaTzadik. It says by Yosef HaTzadik, the brothers were upset. Hamloch, Timloch, Alenu, you want to be the king? Yehuda's the king. Reuven's the king. You want to be the king? Nobody dreamed bigger than Yosef. He dreamed about things that he wasn't entitled to dream. He didn't have permission to dream about these things. He dreamed to be a king. He was a nobody. He was the 11th brother. He was a little kid in diapers walking around with big, impressive Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar. Huge people he grew up with. Who are you? Wait, you showed up and you want to be a king on us? Who are you? The Aviv, but Yaakov, Shamar Es Hadavar. Yaakov heard the dream. He heard the dream. And he wants the dream. And forever, in all of existence, there's an ongoing battle about this dream, about who's going to be the eternal king. And in Klal Yisrael, we have Malchus Yehuda and Malchus Yosef. And we're going to have Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach from Sheva Yehuda. So we have two Mashiachs from two kingdoms, an ongoing battle of the two ultimate great kings we have in our nation, Yehuda and Yosef. Yosef dreamed bigger than anybody. But I'll tell you one thing Yehuda and Yosef have in common. Yosef, after the brothers sold him away, after he was abandoned by his family, after he believed, or he thought, or I'm sure he had desperation in his mind, that the whole family thought he was dead, or in spiritual dead, or in physical dead. And he realized that it's because of what he did, because he was Motzi Dibo, and he spoke bad about the brothers, and the Maisa with Eishes Potiphar, because he was Masal Sel Besairo. And he had this gaiva with his dreams, and he had to talk about his dreams incessantly. He had to keep telling everybody about his dreams, and he realized that I got myself to this terrible situation. He ended up over there by Eishes Potiphar, because he dug himself into that hole. He really put himself in that situation. You get to a Maisa like this, they don't need me. They don't believe in me. And Yehuda, when he got back and he saw what happened, the brothers, Rashi brings, the brothers, they threw him off his throne. They said, Yehuda, it's your fault that we got to go back to Dad now and tell Dad that Yosef was killed. They had to lie to Dad that Yosef was killed. Why? Because Yehuda. And Yehuda ended up going down to meet Bathshua over there to have two kids who died under tragic, terrible circumstances. He lost Er, he lost Onan, he lost his two kids over there. Shayla, he wanted to protect from this terrible woman. Tamar was killing off all his kids. He ends up with no family. All his kids are dying. One is dropping dead after the next. He dug his own hole. Yehuda dug the ugliest hole for himself. He alienated himself from Beis Yaakov because he was the instigator of selling Yosef. The brothers hated him. His father, he was petrified. His father should ever find out what he did. If his father ever found out what he did, he would be banished from Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh. Like later, when he promised this his father, when he was going to try to save Yosef. We see that later very clearly. These two guys are in the deepest holes of desperation. Yehuda deep in his hole, Yosef deep in his hole. And then both of them together. Unbelievable. Yehuda's confronted by some woman. Some woman, this Zayna woman. This terrible woman who killed his kids. And now she says, she's sentenced to death. He's the one who sentenced her to death. And she says, I'm holding somebody's staff over here. And whoever's staff this is, he's the guy who impregnated me. What a shock to his system. He alienated himself from all Beis Yaakov already. They threw him off the throne. And now he's confronted face to face with the worst embarrassment that could come. He's going to have to admit publicly to the whole world that he went off the road with this woman who was dressed up as a Zayna. Oh my God. And Yehuda now, Yosef now, same time, dug himself into his hole. He's standing in the bedroom with Eishes Potiphar, Lasseis Malachtei, to get to work. How did I get here? And Yehuda says two famous words, Tzad Kamimeni. He admitted guilt. He altered the course of history with those two words. He altered the course of his own history with those two words. And he altered the course of Jewish history. From those two words, he got Malchus. He reattained Malchus. He was off the throne. They deposed the king. And with those two words of admission of guilt, he came back to the throne. He adjusted. He came back to the throne from the deepest, the ugliest place. He came back to the throne. And Yosef wasn't there. Yosef had nothing to do. He was absolutely out of control. He went Lasseis Malachtei. So I don't know if this is true, but this is how I see the Maisa. He mustered up. He did it. He mustered up the only thing that could save him. The only thing on the planet that could save him, he mustered up. The Yukno Shel Aviv. He mustered up in that room the image of Yaakov Avinu. He wanted to see his father. He saw his father everywhere. Everywhere he looked, he saw his father. In that room, by the window, in the room, whatever shot you say, he saw his father. He realized, I got to dig myself out of this hole that I dug myself into. And I dug myself into such a dark, ugly place. And now it's time to get out. And I can't do it. So he did even better than Yehuda. He realized his real vulnerability, his real weakness. And he got somebody else. He got something else. He went to an external to dig himself out. He conjured up the Demus Diukno of Yaakov Ovid. When you think about what you want to attain in your life, perfection is very easy to dream about. It's very easy to dream about perfection. And Yosef started out his process, his journey, by dreaming about the chalaimais, the chalaimais of being a king. And those chalaimais, he got a ketoinis pasim. He's walking around with a robe, a nice robe that dad gave him. Walking around proud, around all his brothers, I'm going to be the king. And I had this dream and the other dream. When you have all those dreams and high aspirations, and you think it's going to be a straight trajectory, a one-way ticket there, you don't get there. You don't get there. You just don't get there. Until you start to experience life. And experiencing life means you fail. And you have real moments of terrible frustration. And real moments that you realize you can't do it. And there's desperation. And it doesn't go and it's not working. And real godless and malchus, real malchus is transitioning from perfection to success. That transition from perfection to success, that's malchus. That's the common denominator between Yehuda and Yosef. Yehuda and Yosef simultaneously understood that if you want malchus in this world, you have to realize that you're not going to get this straight. Nobody get this straight. Bikish Yaakov Leshev B'Shalva. Yaakov had a dream to sit there and get this straight. Kafatz Alav Rogzo Shal Yosef. You're not going to get this straight. I went earlier today. I don't want to talk about this. But I went earlier today to spend time with our friend. And if you're not his friend yet, you should become his friend, Jonathan Cohen. And Jonathan Cohen, I was there when I was sitting with him. We're saying, you know, the Asher Yatzer chart, that's for him. And when I was sitting with him, it was an incredible experience for 1,000 reasons. And for 1,000 reasons that shouldn't exist and should cease to exist, and he should have a refuah shleima. Amen. Amen. And he gave me such chizuk, because he showed me what it means to be against your will, in your worst nightmare, under certain circumstances that you never wished upon yourself, you never asked for, you never wanted, your worst enemy wouldn't say it, that you should experience. And he ended up in such a uncomfortable, unpleasant place in his life. And he just talks simcha. He just talks positivity and simcha. And he showed me a live version of what it means that when Hashem is going to squeeze you, that's going to be your malchus. Your malchus is in that place. Your malchus is only in that place. The places that you attain easily and smoothly, that's nice, and you could show off about that, you could flaunt that, but that's not your malchus. That's not your kingdom. And it's not by accident. I believe it's not by accident. It's off by a couple weeks, 1 week, 2 weeks, I don't know the dates, that this guy Assad in Syria was just thrown off his malchus. He was thrown off his malchus because when things got ugly, he didn't know how to handle it. That was going on for a decade already. When things got ugly in his malchus, he didn't know how to handle it. That's real malchus. Real malchus means to find what's ugly, what's not pretty, what's uncomfortable, what's maybe unpleasant and you're not proud of, and you call it the areas you're not succeeding in. And then from those parts to build it up. That's your malchus. The things that are smooth, that it's a clear trajectory, that's not malchus. That's shkayach, that's easy, that's smooth, that's amazing, that's great, you should feel good, but that's not your malchus. But your greatness is when you're able to change direction, to alter, to make an adjustment. When you make adjustments in your life, when you dug your heels in deep. I spoke to a guy told me today, a terrible story. He told me he did 15 daf gemara, terrible story. Because he's not capable of doing 15 daf gemara so fast. So he told me he did 15 daf gemara so fast, he wanted like a lollipop. And then he said to me, he said he had a crazy thought, that maybe he wants to start again and do an omelet, but an omelet takes him like 6 hours a day. Low IQ guy, like me, like a healthy person, low IQ guy. It means he's a holy person. He's a very intelligent person. You know, he feels like a low IQ guy because it takes him 6 hours to do Amud. So what should he do this? It's crazy. All the other guys, you know, make him siyumam on this, siyumam on that. I said, wouldn't it be amazing if you made this adjustment? You realize you're digging yourself into a hole. You're learning so fast and you're learning nothing. You're getting nothing in. You're digging yourself into a hole. This hole is going to continue the rest of your life. You're doing something that's not good for you. But you felt like for a while that it was good for you, and you dug yourself in. I'm talking about good things and good things. I'm not even talking about bad. Good things and good things. And even sometimes in good things, you dig yourself in a hole, and you just keep digging in that hole. Until you wake up and you say to myself, okay, that's nice, and I can make a scene, and everybody will dance, and I'll be the center of attention, and everybody will be very proud of me, but it's not my malchus. That's not my malchus. Where's your malchus? Your malchus and the adjustments that you need to make in your life. That's your malchus. And you don't want to be proud of that? That's the only thing you should be proud of. That's the greatest pride you should have. That's your malchus. That's Yehuda and Yosef simultaneously. Dug themselves out of the hole that they dug themselves into. Up to the point, so much so up to the point that Yosef couldn't do it. He couldn't do it on his own. And his godless, his malchus, was that he realized how weak he is. That was his greatness. His greatness was he realized that he's incapable. That he can't do it. That's his greatness. Realize he can't do it. So when you can't do it, what do? You call a friend. You call your father. You get mom and dad in the room. And you conjure them up. And let them speak to you. Let them threaten you. Whatever it takes. That's your malchus. Mitzvah Hashem, as we go on. Deeper and deeper into yeshiva. Deeper into yeshiva. You get to know yourself. We're not talking about flaunting random areas of success. We're talking about developing malchus. And everybody has malchus. Everybody has malchus. Everybody has in their lives areas of malchus. If you want to go there, and you go there, and you make the proper adjustments, and you shift, and change your whole life around, and everything goes, and all the pieces of the puzzle end up where they belong, and then you sit in your throne. Mr. Hashem will sit in our throne. Have a good chat.